Welcome back to Cyber Mornings Daily, everyone. Ready for another deep dive with me today?
Always ready to dive in. Should be an interesting one today.
Let's jump right into it. First up, we've got this Chinese hacking group, Red Mike.
Yeah, those guys.
They're making a comeback, and this time they're targeting U.S. telecom companies and universities all over the world.
Yeah, they're really persistent.
I know. It's crazy. Like, they got disrupted by law enforcement before, and they always seem to bounce back.
They do, and stronger each time.
What's interesting to me is how they're going about this.
How so?
Well, they're exploiting vulnerabilities in Cisco iOS XE devices.
Oh, wow. So those things that keep our networks up and running.
Exactly. Specifically, CVE 2023-2198 and CVE 2023-2027.
You know, most people think network devices, who cares? But these things often have privileged access to really sensitive parts of the network.
So it's almost like having a backdoor key to a bank vault.
Exactly. It gives them a foothold, a starting point to potentially move deeper into a target's network.
And do some serious damage.
Yeah. But it gets even more interesting when you consider their motives.
Okay. What are we thinking?
It seems they're using a two-pronged approach. They're stealing intellectual property.
Okay. Makes sense.
But they're also establishing espionage positions within these telecom companies.
Whoa. Espionage. That sounds intense.
It is. We're not just talking about stealing data. It's about planting moles.
Wow. In these strategically important organizations, that's some next level stuff.
Yeah. And it makes their targeting of university research, particularly in things like lawful intercept operations, even more concerning.
So lawful intercept operations are basically just legally authorized surveillance of communications, right?
Right. So imagine the kind of intelligence a group like Red Mike could gather if they compromised systems related to those operations.
That's a scary thought. The implications for national security and individual privacy are huge.
Absolutely huge.
Okay, let's move on to story number two, shifting gears from international espionage to firewalls.
Okay, what do we have?
Well, a newly discovered vulnerability in Palo Alto Network's PAN-OS.
PAN-OS, that's a pretty widely used firewall solution.
Yeah, and it's causing quite a stir, this vulnerability. CVE 2025-0108, it lets attackers bypass authentication in the PAN-OS management interface.
Oh, so that means they could potentially access sensitive data and control critical network functions?
Yeah, basically it's like the firewall, your first line of defense, suddenly has a giant hole in it.
And anyone can just walk right in.
Not a good look.
Not at all. How does this vulnerability even work? Firewalls are supposed to be super secure.
I know, right? Well, it comes down to a pretty technical issue.
Lay it on me.
It's called a path confusion problem.
Okay.
Between the Nginx and Apache components in the PAN-OS management interface.
Nginx and Apache, so two different web server softwares.
Exactly. Think of it like this. You're trying to get into a building with two entrances, each guarded by a different security guard.
Okay, I'm falling.
Nginx and Apache are like those guards, each with their own way of checking your ID. Now, the path confusion is basically a trick to exploit the fact that the guards aren't communicating properly.
So you can slip past security by showing the right ID to the right guard at the right time?
Bingo. The attacker is basically exploiting these subtle differences in how Nginx and Apache handle things to trick the system into thinking they're legit.
Sneaky.
Very sneaky. But the good news is this particular flaw doesn't allow for full remote code execution.
Okay, that is good news.
So they can't completely take over the system, but they can still see sensitive data.
And potentially cause some damage.
Definitely still a big deal.
For sure. Organizations using PAN-OS should patch this vulnerability ASAP.
All right, you ready for story number three?
Hit me.
This one is about BeyondTrust.
BeyondTrust.
Yeah, they're a big player in privileged access management.
So they help organizations control who has access to what beta and systems.
Exactly. And guess what?
What?
They got breached.
Oh, the irony.
I know, right? And it gets even crazier. The attackers didn't just exploit one vulnerability.
Oh, no.
They exploited three.
Three.
Including a previously unknown, a zero-day flaw in PostgreSQL.
A zero day.
Yep, CVE 2025-094.
So a vulnerability that nobody knew about until it was too late.
Exactly, like a ticking time bomb. And this particular zero day, it allows something called SQL injection attacks.
Oh, so it gives attackers a way to sneak malicious code into the database.
Yep, potentially giving them control over sensitive information.
That's a big deal.
Huge, and get this, there might be a connection to a breach at the U.S. Treasury Department.
You're kidding?
Nope. Seems the attackers might have used their access to BeyondTrust systems to get into the Treasury's network.
Wow, that's a whole other level.
It really is. We're talking about potentially compromising the financial heart of the U.S. government.
This is way bigger than just a simple data breach.
Right. It shows how even seemingly isolated breaches can have huge consequences.
Like a domino effect, one compromised system can lead to another and another until you've got a full-blown crisis.
Okay, so back to this CVE-2025-10994. The zero-day in PostgreSQL. How does it actually work?
Well, it's pretty technical, but basically it exploits how PostgreSQL processes certain characters, specifically invalid UTF-8 characters.
UTF-8, so the way computers represent text.
Right, and by crafting a specific sequence of these invalid characters, attackers can trigger unexpected behavior in the system.
So like finding a secret code that unlocks a hidden door.
Exactly. Now, BeyondTrust has patched the initial vulnerabilities they disclosed, but this PostgreSQL zero day was only recently discovered and patched.
So there are probably still systems out there running older versions of PostgreSQL.
Yeah, potentially with an unlocked backdoor.
That's not good.
Not good at all. It really underscores the importance of keeping your systems up to date with the latest patches.
It's not just about adding new features. It's about closing those security holes.
Absolutely.
So three pretty intense stories. What's the main takeaway for our listeners?
Well, I think these stories highlight just how persistent and creative attackers are these days.
It's like they're always one step ahead.
They are constantly coming up with new ways to exploit our systems, whether it's by targeting those mundane network devices or exploiting subtle software flaws.
Or even finding zero-day vulnerabilities that nobody knew existed.
Yeah, that's why it's crucial to stay informed about the latest threats and vulnerabilities.
And always be one step ahead.
Exactly. It really is. It's like trying to hit a moving target out there.
So what can organizations even do to keep up? It feels like a never-ending game of cat and mouse.
You're right. It's a tough challenge, but there are things they can do to improve their security.
Like what?
Well, for one, they need a strong vulnerability management program.
Okay.
That means identifying and patching vulnerabilities and doing it quickly.
Before the attackers find them.
Exactly. I bet a lot of organizations are behind on their patching.
Probably. Patching can be a pain.
It can be seen as a chore, something to put off.
When things get busy.
Yeah, but it's so important.
It's like those software updates. Those are basically vaccines for your system.
That's a great way to put it. They protect you from known threats.
Okay, so patch, got it.
And another crucial thing is threat intelligence.
Threat intelligence, what's that?
It's all about gathering information on potential threats and then using that information to strengthen your defenses.
So it's like having a spy network.
Yeah, keeping you informed about the enemy's movements.
Anticipating the attack before it even happens.
Exactly. If you understand the tactics the attackers are using, you can prepare your defenses better.
And make it harder for them to succeed.
It's like setting traps and laying ambushes along the paths they're most likely to take.
Okay, I like that.
So patching and threat intelligence, those are two key pieces of the puzzle.
But let's be real. Even with the best defenses, sometimes breaches still happen. What then?
Then it's all about incident response.
What's that?
It's having a plan in place to quickly detect, contain, and fix security incidents.
So your emergency response team.
Exactly. Ready to jump into action as soon as the alarms go off.
Damage control, right?
Right. Minimizing the impact of the breach.
Stopping it from spreading.
Yep. A good incident response plan is critical.
It can make the difference between a disaster and just a manageable situation.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Okay, so we've got patching, threat intelligence, and incident response, three pillars of cybersecurity.
It sounds like we've got it all covered.
Almost, but we're missing one thing.
What's it?
The human factor, even with the best technology, one wrong click can bring the whole house of cards down.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Technology can only take us so far.
So what do we do?
Security awareness training is crucial. We need to educate users about the risks.
And teach them how to protect themselves.
Exactly. Empower them to be the first line of defense.
Create a culture of security awareness.
Yes, where everyone understands their role in keeping things safe.
So it's not just the IT department's problem anymore.
Not at all. Everyone's responsible. And that starts with education.
Teach people how to spot those phishing emails. How to make strong passwords.
How to report anything suspicious.
All those basic things that can actually make a huge difference.
A huge difference.
It's like giving everyone a security toolkit.
Yeah, giving them the skills they need to navigate the digital world safely.
Okay, so we talked about the technical side, the patching, the threat intelligence and incident response, and the human side with security awareness training.
Sounds good.
But if we zoom out a bit, all three of these stories today RedMic, PanOS, Beyond Trust, they all share a common thread.
What's that?
They show just how sophisticated these cyber attacks are becoming.
It's true. We're not talking about those amateur hackers anymore.
These are organized groups with serious skills and resources.
The threat landscape is getting really complex.
And it's not just cyber criminals. We're seeing nation-state activity, too.
The lines are getting blurred. It's like a cyber arms race.
Both sides are constantly coming up with new weapons and strategies.
And the stakes are higher than ever. We're talking about attacks that can disrupt critical infrastructure,
cripple businesses, steal data, even influence elections.
It's a whole new kind of warfare happening in the digital world.
It is kind of scary.
I get that. It can feel like we're all walking on eggshells online.
But we're not powerless, are we?
No, not at all. If we understand the threats and take precautions, we can reduce our risk a lot.
So how do we protect ourselves as individuals? It's easy to feel overwhelmed by all of this.
Don't panic. That's the first step.
Okay, no panicking.
Knowledge is power. The more you understand about these threats, the better you'll be at defending against them.
So stay informed?
Exactly. Stay up to date on the latest security news. There are lots of resources out there.
Like our podcast?
Like your podcast, exactly.
Okay, so stay informed. What else?
Be careful what you do online. Don't open attachments from people you don't know.
Be wary of suspicious links. Got it.
And be careful about the information you share online.
What you post online stays online.
Pretty much. Once it's out there, it's out there.
It's like walking through a minefield.
Good analogy. And speaking of mines, let's talk about passwords. Use strong, unique passwords for everything.
Don't use the same password for multiple sites. And use a password manager.
Password managers are great. They can really help you keep track of everything.
I don't know what I'd do without mine.
And whenever you can, enable two-factor authentication.
Two-factor authentication.
Yeah, it adds an extra layer of security, like a double lock on your door.
Double the protection.
Exactly.
But what if we do everything right and still get hacked? What then?
First, don't panic.
Again, with the no panicking.
It's important to act fast, but stay calm.
Okay, calm and collected.
Change your passwords right away for any accounts that might be affected.
And report it?
Yes, report the incident to the right people.
Like your bank or credit card company, if financial information was stolen.
Right. And if you're not sure what to do, talk to a cybersecurity professional.
So like calling 911 for your digital life.
Exactly.
There are experts out there who can help.
There are.
Okay, so we've talked about what individuals can do. What about organizations?
A lot of the same principles apply. They need to be proactive.
Not reactive.
Right. Invest in good security solutions, stay informed about the threats, and build that culture of security awareness we were talking about.
And be ready to respond to incidents.
Prepared for anything.
Sounds like a lot.
It is, but it's necessary. The cost of a breach can be huge.
Financially and for your reputation.
Both. And in some cases, a breach can even be a threat to national security.
So it's not just about protecting data anymore. It's about protecting everything.
That's right. Cybersecurity affects us all.
And it's only going to get more important in the future.
Definitely. As our lives become more intertwined with technology, cybersecurity will be even more critical.
We need to be ready.
We do.
It's almost like we're at this point where cybersecurity isn't just about protecting our computers and data anymore.
Yeah.
It's about protecting, I don't know, our way of life.
You're right, it is. Protecting our economies, our democracies.
Everything.
Our freedoms. It's a big responsibility.
Huge.
One we can't afford to take lightly.
Definitely not. So as we wrap up this deep dive.
Okay.
What's the one big takeaway you want our listeners to remember?
I think the biggest thing is be vigilant.
Okay.
Be informed and be proactive.
Don't just wait for something bad to happen.
Right. Don't wait until it's too late to take cybersecurity seriously.
It's much easier to prevent an attack than to clean up the mess afterward.
100%.
So prevention is key.
Absolutely. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
That's what they say.
So stay informed about the threats out there. Keep your systems patched. Use strong passwords.
Be careful what you click on.
Yes. Yeah. And enable two-factor authentication everywhere you can.
All great advice. And if you do find yourself in trouble, if you think you've been compromised, don't panic.
Right.
Take a deep breath. Change your passwords. Report the incident.
And if you need to, get help from a cybersecurity professional.
There's no shame in asking for help.
None at all. Sometimes it's the smartest thing to do.
So to sum it all up, cybersecurity is everyone's responsibility.
It is.
It's not just about the technology. It's about being aware, being vigilant, taking those steps to protect ourselves.
And our organizations.
And it's about working together.
That's important.
We can't afford to be siloed. We need to collaborate.
We do. The bad guys are sharing information and tactics. We need to do the same.
Let's all commit to being more cyber aware, more proactive, and working together to make a safer digital world.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
That's all the time we have for today's deep dive into cybersecurity.
This is a good one.
Thanks for joining us on Cyber Mornings Daily. And stay safe out there, everyone.
Until next time, stay vigilant.